not as victims, but as victorious. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Many of the people of God walk around bandaged up because of the battles that they've been in. They smell like they've been right on the battle lines. And they smell like they've been around death on the battle line. That the stench of the war has now infiltrated their garment of praise. And that war, the death and the slaughter of being in the battle lines, has tainted your garment of praise. You have been caught up with a remembrance of the battle line, the battle that you've been in, but you're missing the victory that I have given you, for I have given you the advantage. I handpicked you. I handpicked you. And I called you out by name. From the backside of the mountain. I called you by name before you were ever even formed. I called you to be victorious. And what has come up in your praise is only to be a remembrance that I've given you victory. I have given you victory. Not to bring remembrance of a victim, but I gave you victory. And in that garment of praise, it's a remembrance that I was with you in the battle. That you were never alone. You were never, ever by yourself. I called you by name. So when everyone else says you're too little to fight this giant, I called you. I called you out. I called you out. And I gave you favor. I gave you favor. That even the other ones that looked like they should have been there, I didn't choose them. I chose you. Hear this. Everyone that you think should have been the one standing and being victorious, he says, I overlooked them, but I called you to stand victorious. I don't judge by the outward appearance. I judge the heart. And when I judge the heart, I don't make a mistake. But I chose you. So in your season of being out in a field, All I'm doing is preparing you for the bigger battle. You may be out there alone doing something, but you're not alone. You're in training. And it seems like you have no earthly clue of how to do this. But when I call you to the front, I've given you the advantage. Because I've been training you out in the field. And when I send you, I'll send you to the very front of the line. And the same ones that thought they were called are the ones that you're going to go in front of. Hear this and hear good by the Spirit of God. We just family in here today. When I call you to the front, I called you from the field. And when I called you from the field, you come in smelling like where you've been. So that when you get to the front, they know where you've been. That there's no question that you've been alone in the field, trying to figure out the will of God for your life, trying to figure out where to go next, how to do this next step, how to do this next thing that you're showing me in my dreams, showing me in vision, showing me as you speak to me. And I don't know what I've got to do, but there's something inside of me that tells me I just got to be in this field by myself. When nobody else wants to be around me, nobody else wants to do what needs to be done, but I feel like I'm alone. You carry that stench on you. When you get to that very line to face the biggest giant in your life that looks you right in the eyes and says, "Who are you that come and challenge me? Who are you? Nothing but a little boy, nothing but a kid." Your giant is looking you right in the eye. But you have the stench of where you've been. You've been in the field doing daddy's business. So that when you come to the very front of the line, he looks at you right in the eye. And he's 9 feet tall, looking right at you. But he's looking at you and saying, "Who are you that come and challenge me?" And everything is stacked up against you, and you feel like you're at a disadvantage. A disadvantage. He says, "I have given you the advantage because you are alone with me in the field. What I have trained you up to do is to kill the beast in the field." You think you were just playing with slingshots? I was teaching you how to kill a beast. Don't miss that. The beast that always challenges you. Let me get in y'all's business a little bit since we're family. Some of it is your vices in your life that you don't want to let go of. That's a beast. Some of it is the unbelief. That's a beast. But I've been training you all along, even in that. So that when you come and face this giant, I've given you the advantage. And you're going to slay this giant. You're going to slay this giant. I purposely turned these lights off so that some of you could get into your praise. Sometimes we don't want people to see how we really praise. But it's symbolic that in your night season, that's what you do. You praise. You shout. You cry. You jump. You run. You dance. Whatever you do, that's you and God. But it's in the dark. Because the Bible says that late in the midnight hour, the darkest hour, I will turn that very thing around. Late. And I will turn all those tears, I will turn them into joy. There's some night seasons that have come to an end. But the problem is, just because it's dark, you think you're not out. You're out. I made sure we had a presence in here so that we could really feel God. I said, God, if we don't preach nothing, we don't do nothing, I want you just to show up. Just show up. All I want is God to show up when we meet him. Some of y'all are still trying to just, Pastor, you know, it's dark in here. It's dark in here. Get used to it. Learn to get used to your night seasons. Because that's when he's speaking. And when he speaks, he gives you the instructions. We've heard that. We did that whole series on that. Learn. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Learn to see with your spirit as opposed to with your natural eyes. Amen. When you can learn to see with your spirit what is going on in the atmosphere and learn to adjust to what the Spirit of God is doing and moving, then you'll learn how to be led of the Spirit. We can have all kinds of Bible teachings in here. It's great, wonderful. But if we don't know how to be led of the Spirit, we just know how to be religious. I don't know about you, but I know I got some stench on me from the battles that I've been in. How many of you got some stench on you? Yeah, we have it from the battles that we've been in. So that when we go to the next battle, the enemy looks at us, oh, they've been someplace before. And they made it to meet me. You understand? Some of us, we face some giants in our lives that they just don't want to back away. These giants just stay facing you, taunting you. Taunting you. The references, if you haven't figured out by now, is about David. Goliath is standing on the other mountain, and the Israelites are standing on another mountain. What stands between both mountains is a valley. It's easy for your enemy to taunt you while they're up in the mountaintop and you're on your mountaintop experience. But when you get down to the valley, is the only place you get victory. The battle didn't take place up on the mountain. It took place in the valley. Your greatest victory is not going to come on the mountaintop. Your greatest victory comes in your valley. But he taunted the army of Israel for 40 days and 40 nights. He taunted a generation. Anytime you see 40 in Scripture, that's a generation. He taunted a generation of armies that would never face the Philistines because of the giant that was in the army. But it took a young little boy that came from the backside of the field doing daddy's business to come up to the very front of the line. Watch this. Daddy Jesse, Daddy, his real daddy, sent him to the front line with some bread and cheese. Bread. I'm taking the bread of heaven with me. And when I go with the bread of heaven to the very front, read the scripture. He gives the bread to the army, and he gives the cheese to the one that's in charge of the army. You can read it this way. You know your pastor's a little silly. You're going to go make yourself some noise on your way up. And those that didn't want you to be there to begin with, you're going to bring Jesus to them. And the one that probably would never let you go to the front of the line because you're nothing but a little kid, God says, just give him the cheese. Give him the money. Give him the money. And I'll let you go to the front of the line. So when you dropped off the bread and the cheese, David went to the very front of the line and said, who is this man making all this kind of noise? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who is this man that taunts the armies of Israel? In that generation, that army did not respond the way it should have been responding. But it took someone that was alone. It took a younger generation that was alone. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We're that generation that feels like we're alone because the army of the Philistine that is uncircumcised has grown and outnumbered us, the church. We see that very thing happening in this very country, that the Christian voice is no longer valid, but the voice of those that defy God want to be heard. And they'll give an ear to a people that do not follow after God. We've become a generation that is no longer the voice. We're the generation that's alone in the field, being prepped and getting ready to take a giant out. Wednesday night, I began to talk about the rock in your life. The rock. I said, God, I don't understand why we went there, but I know you're going to show me. The only thing I know how to do, Daniel, when I was a kid, is throw rocks. You just kind of make up all kinds of just weapons on your own because you're just a kid. Tell my kids, my daughter asked me the other day, now, at your grandmother's house, you said that there was trains that went by. What did you do? Throw rocks at it. Yeah. Like it's going to do anything to the train. But he was training me how to throw rocks. And when the train would go by, we'd be just as crazy enough to just jump on that train and ride it down a couple of blocks. He was training me how to ride the giant to my next destination. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because he's going to teach you the timing of when to jump on and when to jump off. Just throwing rocks over there at a train going by. Oh, it'll show you, right? But it'll teach you also not to fall. Because if it wasn't dangerous, if it wasn't dangerous, you probably wouldn't have done it. But because it was dangerous and that giant was bigger than you, let's try it. And forget about what could have, what would have, and the what ifs. No longer does that train look like it's going to do anything to you because you lose all fear. That's a generation. I was a young kid. Foolish, but a kid. But I lost my fear on things bigger than me. My mom used to have to go and pick me up in the van. We used to have a van. And I'd be standing in the middle of all these people, ready to fight the biggest guy that was there. I didn't care about size. I tell my kids, I fear no man. No man. I've gotten beat up by the smallest and the biggest. So it's true. Elder, go ahead and turn up the sconces just a little bit. Alan, turn the sconces up just a bit. No, I don't want the house lights, just that one. I'm going to get away from these lights. I don't like them. Up, 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 up. Okay, now give me the front lights up here. My mom knows how many times I would get in fights. And I was just telling this to my daughter Hannah and Josh the other day. I was telling Hannah, I went to go to Starbucks, and there was these kids just walking around by Starbucks. I said, that's trouble right there. She said, why? I said, because they're dressed like thugs, but they're really not thugs. They're just dressing the part. But when it comes down to it, when there's a fight, they're not going to fight. They're the ones causing trouble, looking for somebody else to bail them out. And usually the ones that have the heart bail them out. That was me. Don't care how big you were, you ain't going to pick on these little ones. I'm going to jump in. And I would jump in getting fights all the time. Fights that were not my own fights. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? Yes. Sometimes God is going to say, this ain't your battle. I got this, but you're so used to jumping in anyhow. You get beat up a little bit more than you should have. But because he loves you that much, he has to give you victory so that you don't lose the battle. I said, God, I've been fighting my whole life. The biggest battle that I have to fight is me. To this very day. He says, you've been trying to fight this thing by yourself, but you can't win. Because if you get victory yourself, you think you can handle everything that comes your way. Because you think you know it all. You'll think that you know how to finagle things to get what you want. Or act a certain way so that you can get the result that you want in the very end. And you'll get caught up in manipulation and you'll fall under witchcraft and not even know it. You'll begin to manipulate, give me, give me, give me in a different way. I'm talking about me. All right, you too. All right now. But you're going to learn something. Is that I'm the one that has to bring you through this. Quit jumping in to win this battle. Let me do it. How did David learn how to kill a bear, a lion? Did he do that right away? How did he learn that a slingshot can do some damage? Well, I figure he must have been playing around with the slingshot. You know the slingshot. Mom, the one that I used to get in trouble with all the time. Used to break Memo's windows all the time. I'd get in trouble. And then when Fina moved next door, I used to break. And then, oh, Lord, here we go again. So then Chris and I would be running. You know Chris, my cousin Chris. We were always in trouble. Always in trouble. I won't even mention my other cousins. Always in trouble. Because we were playing around with the slingshot that we made. We made. You pull that sucker back. Watch out. And when you let that rock go, don't even look if it hits. Just run. Just run. Ben, I would just run because I knew it was going to break something. And I knew when it hit something and it broke, you could hear it. And then this will hear, Marty! Crying before you even get dealt with. So here's David in the backside in the wilderness, the field, tending sheep. Here comes a wolf. I don't want to get close to a wolf that's about to take one of these sheep. I got to figure out a device that's going to take that wolf out from a distance. How about we get a little tired of just picking up rocks and throwing rocks, don't we not? Yeah. Remember, I started throwing rocks at trains until I got bored and tired of throwing rocks. But throwing rocks strengthened my arm. And I got tired of it, but then, hey, what if I put... This stick Then I just carve the edge here, carve the edge here, get some big rubber bands that my dad used to get from this company called Karakians, who used to deliver. These rubber bands were so big. Y'all remember, I see my family remembers. And he said, "Here, mijo, I got you some rubber bands." All right, that's three more slingshots right there. I knew what I was going to use them for. So I would pull that back, me and my cousins, and figure out how to put that little thing. And, you know, we'd always find some jeans or some cloth or something to hold the rock. You with me, right, Joy? You got me. I know it. So what I would do is I go look for a garment. Come on. That would hold the rock. Come on. I would look for a garment that would hold the rock, that where I couldn't throw it no more, the instrument can launch it further. And I would use a stick, which is humanity. David knew that if I'm tired of throwing rocks at these wolves, then it's not doing. They're no longer afraid of me throwing rocks. So I'm going to make something by being alone, get proficient at it. Maybe there was a rabbit that ran by every now and then. Lunch. Well, it looks like there'll be another. There's my dinner. Now he's getting better and better at it. Now here comes a wolf. Take the wolf. Now the wolf now is going to be afraid. Because, okay, that hurts more than what you just throwing. See, we're relying on our own strength, but God has given you other gifts inside of you that is going to do more damage to the enemy, but you're relying on just one gift. But if you could get back that garment of praise and worship that holds the rock to you, you can sling that into your enemy's life further than what you could ever do just with intercession or just with walking around praying and praying. How about it that you're able to do more with the other gifts that he's given you, but you didn't know they were there until you had to use it? Now, I bet you what he decided to do is test it. How is it that he's over there doing shepherding? He's shepherding. That he has to devise an instrument to ward off the wolves. Kind of like how you shepherd your family. How you shepherd your relationships. How you shepherd your businesses, your dreams, your desires, you still have to devise an instrument. And that instrument is to take that giant out. But you ain't going to face this giant just yet. Not yet. So you've been dealing with some wolves. But it says in the scripture in 1 Samuel 17 that he's beginning to give his resume on what he did, and he starts telling Saul, "Oh, when I was taking care of business for my daddy, I was out there with the sheep. You smell me. I stink. But I brought you guys something to eat to make some grilled cheese sandwiches, so you should love me right now. But I came over here, and when I got here, you could smell that I've been with some sheep. So you don't have to ask where I've been. You know where I've been." Just like everything in life, people know where you've been. And you're trying to give account to, "Well, you know where I've been. You know, I'm doing daddy." Don't give account. But what happens is Saul says, "Well, you're nothing but a little boy. This is a giant that's been trained in war. And you're nothing but a little boy." He looks over at Saul, says, "When I was taking care of the sheep, when I was out there in that field by myself, ain't nobody there to help me. I didn't have no army standing with me. It was just me. And I take care of the things that daddy gave me. I take care of it. I put my life down for what daddy gave me. I hope you hear my heart right now. And I will lay down my life to fight for any one of these sheep to be hurt. Any single one of them about to go out and be hurt by anything that is coming in. I will lay my life down to protect the thing that God has given me to watch over." And at first it started off with the wolf. But let me remind you, there was a lion. Didn't it not say in the scripture, a lion? A lion. What's a lion doing out there? Are y'all hearing me? What is a lion doing now? Because sheep ain't out there in the forest. The lions are in Africa. What is a lion doing out there with the sheep? Are you hearing me? Finding scripture where the lions are attacking sheep. Find it. Sheep and lion are two different regions. But God sees fit to allow a beast to come into your life that doesn't belong. Should have never even been there. But shows up as you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Just shows up. I brought it from another region, son, and I want you to stand right there. You know, if some of y'all that know me, listen good. I brought them from another region so that you can take them out. But I brought them amongst your fold. What you going to do? What you going to do? The Bible says that David told Saul, and I grabbed that paw and I grabbed it by the whiskers and I killed that lion. And the next thing he says, and there was a bear too. You got a bear with sheep? That don't mix either. Don't read the scripture just to read it because it's a book or it's a story about David. Where did the bear and the lion come from while shepherding sheep? Doesn't mix. But they're both after to kill the sheep. David says the same thing to Saul. And when the bear came, took it by the paw and its whiskers. And I killed it too. Learning something. Learning something. When nobody else is watching. Just like when you thought that they overlooked you, bud. They selected you. They selected you. Could have went with something bigger. Proven. But they saw beyond the outer. They saw the heart. They saw the passion. That's why it's easy for you to speak of things and people just do what you speak, because that's a gift that has been given to you. And he will always grace it. But now this time you're walking in your own visions. And even more is coming to you. Even more. I've got to teach you something while you've been alone to help you to face a bigger giant so that you have victory. David, cut this whole story short, he reached into a purse, a bag. Watch this. Reached into a bag. And this wasn't Louis Vuitton. This wasn't Dolce & Gabbana. This was not even one of those Michael Kors. This was a bag. And if you know scripture, it was dead skin. Something that he already once killed. That reached into and grabbed what? A rock. So symbolically, you've got to reach into your past victories. Choose that same instrument, Jesus, as you select it. Watch this now. Don't lose me on this. How many rocks did he pick up? He picked up five, baby. He reached into grace, pulled out a rock, put that in the garment. I hope you're hearing me. And he pulled back. And everything that he had went through every single thing that came against him. Help me out, guys. Help me out. Everything that just stepped in front of him that challenged the thing that Daddy said for him to watch. He grabbed it in his garment of praise and worship. For he was the one that knew how to play a harp. He was the one that wrote the Psalms. And he was the one that knew how to sing unto God. So when he put that rock...
in that garment of praise. He pulled back and he launched that thing at that enemy. And that giant was no more bigger than 9 feet tall. He didn't have that kind of power to take him out. But he knew one thing, because when he showed up at the very front of the line, that giant that was on the other mountain, and he was standing on this mountain, when he began to taunt David, he ran to meet him in the valley. In the valley. He went to meet him there, and that's when he pulled back. And he launched it right between his eyes. That rock will always go between the eyes of your enemy. Now watch this. Scripture does not say that he killed him with the rock. It only knocked him out. The rock will knock out your enemy. But you have a responsibility to finish what God has started. Might go get my big sword. You have a responsibility to finish the job. Your giant falls down. That's nothing strange to David. So did the lion and so did the bear. But this time he had to take the enemy out. And what he did is he took the actual, he went into battle with no sword. What did he go into battle with? Some bread, some cheese, a slingshot. Watch this. Hear me now. He didn't bring the rocks from the field. He only got grace in the battle. When you find grace, that is your rock. And you reach into the bag of yesterday's victories. And you pull out a rock of grace for today's victory. David went into battle without a sword, but he sure did leave with one. And it wasn't even his own sword. He took that from Goliath and he finished the job. He cut the head off. Y'all know the story. Cut the head off. Takes the sword. Where did he put the sword? In that verse of scripture, he goes back to Goliath's tent. Are you hearing this? You will go into your enemy's tent and you will plunder what the enemy has been taking from you. And he stores the sword in Goliath's tent. Remember, David just went there to go drop off lunch. He didn't have a tent to go with him. He just went to go deliver lunch. But while I'm here delivering lunch, let me just fight another giant. So he didn't have a tent. He leaves a sword in Goliath's tent. Now the same Saul that was saying, "You're too young, you're nothing but a boy." Now he asks, "Who is that boy?" How quickly people forget that they challenge you, that they question you. How quickly they forget who you really are, because now they begin to see you in a whole new light. You don't look the same as a little boy that came up smelling like sheep. You look like a warrior that stood the test of time and you fought a devil that was bigger than you. Because when he looked at him, he was carrying a sword. But before, he was coming with bread. When you come before your battles, you come with the bread of life and the sword of the Spirit. And you will always reach into the rock of revelation that you're not alone. For David said unto the giant, Goliath, he said, "You come at me with sword, spear, and a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the commander of the army of Israel. I don't come alone, because when I was in my field by myself, I knew there was somebody there with me. I knew it had to be Jesus. I knew I couldn't have been going through all this mess by myself, because I knew he was here with me. And when I stepped up to the front to face this giant, I ran to the valley to kill this giant." The scripture says that he walked into Jerusalem carrying that very head. When Saul said, "Bring that boy to me," the Bible says He had the head with him. He said, "Who's that man?" David said, "Shoot, I'll go talk to you now, Saul." Remember when you didn't want to look at me, talk to me? That I was too little to do anything. And I would never amount to nothing. That I was never going to make it. I didn't have the smarts for college. I had an appetite for a crazy life. God says, "If you trust me when you're alone, I'll take that very head and cut that head off. I will finish the job for Israel, and I'll give victory unto an army that has stood with you and stood against you. But because you did it, the rest of the army charged after them." We need a generation that will speak right now and say, "I will stand up and I will fight. And when I fight, it'll raise up an army. Even when we're little, we're mighty by the Spirit of God. And you will throw that rock and take your enemy out. And you will carry the head of the thing that haunted you your whole life. That defied the army of God. And you will hold it and say, 'I did this with God.'" Finish the job. Don't just come to the altar and get saved. Finish the job. Learn to walk and live by the ordinances of God. Learn the more higher calling that's in your life. It's not just about getting saved. That's easy. Because all you got to do is just say, "Yes, I believe." What's hard is walking it out. What's hard is when you come up against another devil called religiosity that won't let you grow in God no more. Quit coming to the cross and getting on the knees. How about we climb that cross and get to glory? Jesus ain't there no more. He's not even in a tomb. You can't find him in places that man has made. You can only find him in the place of adversity and in victory. If you're in adversity, he's there. If you're in victory, it's because he got you there. If you're coming up against a war that you feel like you're not going to win, finish the job. Cut the head off. Cut it off. And don't take no for an answer. Don't take no for an answer. If they say that they ain't got enough, he ain't through giving you more. If they say, "We're about to pull the plug," don't worry. I got other plugs to plug in with you. I got other resources that are going to make you shine. I got other resources that are going to redeem you because of what I put inside of you. You've only been carrying the thing that I've entrusted you with, says the Spirit of God. You've been carrying it even in your dark hours, your dark seasons. And it's been dark for a very long time. But you're about to get victory once and for all, bud. Your children remain in your home. She's moving back. She's moving back. So she can be in the same city where she belongs. Because your children came from your loins. They need to be at your side. Because you not only care for them, you love them, and you will lay down your life for them. As you have laid down your life for them, God says, "I have laid down my life for you." And when they want to pull the plug, watch how they're going to reach into their bag and even give you more. More. This isn't the only one. Start looking for your next one before this one is even finished. Before this one is even completed, even before you get the CFO, start looking for your next place. And don't settle for no strip center. Get it built from the ground up. I have prophesied and prophesied to your mom concerning you. I said, I love that man. I don't know what's so special about him. Be real with you. What's special about him other than he's got God in a special way? And I have prophesied concerning your life, concerning your children. Every time I hear God speak, every time, kids are coming home with you. With you. You're going to be in a season for about 2 years. 2 years. You're going to be alone without a mate. Hear me good. But at the end of 24 months, you would have already purchased a ring and established, one, your home under your name, built the way you wanted it built, where you wanted it in the school district that you've been designing for your kids. And in the end of 2 years, you will have three already in operation. Please hear the Spirit of God, not because I know certain aspects. Before this even transpired, the Lord prophesied to her that what you have desired, that the job was coming to you, that they were going to seek you and just give it to you. And you stepped into it. Now it's been turbulent, but God's silencing the wind. This is over. And your journey in a new path is beginning today. Today. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I just want to share something very, very quick concerning the sword of Goliath. 14 years later. 14. Now David is being chased by Saul. David leaves. He has no sword again. Winds up in the temple. He's hungry. What does the priest give him?
Bread.
What did he bring to his battle?
Bread.
He brought another item with him, was cheese. Remember that? Gives him bread. He says, the king's matter was so urgent that I left without a sword. Do you have a sword? He goes, no. I don't have a sword here, but the sword of Goliath, in which you took from him in that great battle. And it's wrapped in the ephod. And an ephod always represents the will of God. Give it to me. 14 years later, he regains the sword from a victory that he did in the valley. You're going to go back to everything in remembrance to every battle that you've had. And it's going to meet you in your destiny. Even when you feel like you don't have the ammo, if you would. God says, I have it in the perfect will. And you're going to get it now. Even when you're running for your life. He never had to use it. He never had to use the sword. All God was saying is, it's your will to be on the run from Saul. Because what you're running to is the crown. And I will make you king over Israel. I want you to look back at every battle you've had. Every single one. Even the one just yesterday. Or even this morning. Or the one you're facing just right now. And know you've got victory. Draw. Put your hand in that bag of past victories. Reach into grace. Select revelation.
of what your past victories came from. And sling that thing right at the giant that faces you right now. Because you are coming out of this thing. And a crown will be given to you. And that crown is given 14 years later. We're in 2014, guys. 14 is open doors. Number 4 is the hand. The hand of God is going to open more doors. And you're going to walk through it in victory. And you will see the ephod and the sword of your previous giant. So you face the next giant and not be afraid. And it all started because he selected a rock. Rock. Select that rock, guys. Will you select it? Hold on to him. But keep that garment close to you. If it smells like you've been on the battle lines, the enemy knows. Just stand there anyhow. When God says draw back, draw it back. And everything that he showed you while you were alone by yourself, just release it. Just release it. Because it'll hit that enemy right between the eyes. But you got to finish the job. Take the head off. But it started with the rock. If you want to take the head off, just stand to your feet, please, if you would. Lift up your hands as a surrendering unto the Lord. Father, I just thank you right now that because we reached into grace, we have victory through grace. It is through the grace of God that we have salvation given to us, Lord. Being grafted in because of our forefather, Abraham, the founder of our faith. But it's through the Son of Jesus, the Son, and the blood of Jesus that has cleansed me and made me white as snow. That everything past, present, and future is under the blood. I am redeemed today from every past hurt, every past affliction, and every past demon, every past giant. And I have victory today. And I have victory because of the blood, Jesus. And Father, I just thank you that today, as we stand as a people that surrender unto the will of God, the perfect will of God, that we can draw our sword, which is the word of God. And that whatever word that is spoken out of the mouth of God shall accomplish what it set out to do and will not return void unto you, God. So we stand even in the valley, God, for our victory is in the valley. And we will overtake the mountain of the one that has taunted us, because they taunted the armies of the living God. Israel plundered the camp of the enemy. And God, I thank you that I take the sword and I cut off the head of the giant that's in my life once and for all, finishing the job. Lord, I just thank you right now for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to come upon my life. That empowers me with power, the dunamis power, to overcome the world. For you said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. When your life feels like you're at a disadvantage, I am the advantage in your life. And I will give you victory in your valley. Father, I just thank you for these precious people, God. I thank you for these sheep, God, that I lay down my life for, as Jesus laid down his life for all of us. God, I thank you for such a wonderful people, a wonderful family. And I thank you for a wonderful church. I thank you that the House of Manna represents a place that we can run to and seek the shelter of the Most High God. Lord, I just thank you for the favor that you have placed over this house, over their lives, over their ministries, over their gifts, over their families, their businesses, their bank accounts, their health. I thank you for favor, God, that is given without measure, and it has nothing to do with our ability, but our faith in you. So I thank you for them, and I bless them from the crown of their heads to the very soles of their feet, that everywhere they go, they walk on holy ground because you've ordered their steps. So God, I just thank you right now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on, praise him. You got victory today. You got victory today. Victory. Glory to God in the highest. Hallelujah, hallelujah. As Elder is passing out the envelopes for our tithes.